Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming in from the Radio Bunker, joining us on the horn right now as he does every Tuesday morning. Covered the Detroit Tigers minor league system for a couple of decades. Covered the Mid-American Conference. Covered the association in the Cleveland Cavaliers. Our good buddy John Wagner has been all over the sports spectrum. Find him on Twitter, John Wagner Sport. You currently reside in the great state of Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. John, my friend. As always, thanks for taking the time to join us. How in the hell does the state of Minnesota manufacture three teams out of the four in the Frozen Four, three out of the four entries, and they didn't win the national championship?
How did I know you were going to bring up UMass to get us started, Anthony? If you'll notice, UMass took out three of the five Minnesota teams, and Minnesota teams knocked out the other two. So, curses on UMass. Now, that, I mean, that was, if you saw the championship game, they played a great, great championship game. I mean, St. Cloud State did not play a great game, but UMass did. They were fantastic. They absolutely deserved the win. And everybody around me is wearing black because hockey season at the collegiate level is over. I mean, the Wild is doing well, though. So, you know, there's still a chance for the Wild to go wild. So
I like that. Still a chance for the Wild to go wild. Did you really expect me to go non-baseball related here? And did you expect me to go Frozen Four right off the rip?
No.
Okay. To be honest. I was going to say, me too well, and we spent too much time together.
Well, because, I mean, you know that I'm writing for a couple of newspapers here in Minnesota, and it's literally the start of the high school, quote-unquote, spring sports season. So I was out there today covering a golf tournament, and I had a baseball game and a softball game canceled because it's, you know, on Monday it was 502 degrees below zero. When it wasn't snowing, it was raining, and it has been for a week, and yeah, so my brain is all over the place. I assumed it would be baseball, but the moment you talked and started with the phrase, how in the world, although I think you actually had a mild epithet in there, how in the world did Minnesota have three teams in there and come up short? I knew you were headed towards the Frozen Four.
Yeah, it's a PG show, John. It's a, you know, we got a, you know, parental guidance. You know, we can't be out here dropping that kind of language for the youth. But I was so caught off guard. I was like, well, at least John will get a national title to write about. Not so fast, my friends. All right, now to the game that you love, a game so great it's played on a diamond. The Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves, neither which of these teams or organizations or franchises really have anything to do with the greater Detroit or Detroit minor league system or anything to do with the state of Michigan. However, what they did provide to us the other night were some theatrics in which the Phillies beat the Braves 7-6, in which a player scored a go-ahead run on a controversial call that he didn't actually touch the plate. After replay review, the umpires decided to stick with the call on the field, which was a run scored, even though, like, frame by frame, we can see his foot never touches home plate. Now, I didn't know that the neighborhood rules, like, oh, as long as you're near the bag, you know, and they turn two every once in a while, that, like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. Like, yeah, I know he didn't touch the bag, but it's totally fine. I didn't know that applied to home plate. The fact that we have replay in Major League Baseball, replay slows every sport down. I hate it, but it's a necessary evil because we get to watch the game with 1,500 replays on television in super slow-mo, and in some cases even in 4K where we can see speckles of dirt fly across the screen. So for us at home, it's like a double-edged sword where we want replay, but we don't want it so much that it kills the game. In the case of the Phillies and Braves, how did that officiating crew, how could this happen? How could they screw that up?
Well, you know what? In that soliloquy to get us rolling, you asked multiple questions, and I'd love to respond to all of them. But let me hit what I think is your biggest, which was, how in the world did they get it wrong? And there are a couple of things that I would point out.
And you weren't going to say the world right there either, were you? But you caught yourself, so I appreciate your censorship.
I was told it's a PG show, so here we are. I, you know. So, at any rate, first of all, if you were watching it live, you heard the announcers say at first blush they thought he was safe as well. So in other words, their immediate reaction was safe, okay? Which my immediate reaction was, I'd like to see the replay. And one of the first replays showed the base runner's foot bouncing outside the base and then he was out. But here, so first of all, you have the factor of the first reaction. The umpire called him safe. And that's a big and very important part of the rule because of the second element. It has to be obvious in the eyes of the viewer. And some things that, quote unquote, are obvious to us aren't obvious to the viewer. They want it to be, what's the phrase they keep using? Clear and, all I can think of is clear and present danger. And I think replay is a clear and present danger personally, but no, it must be irrefutable evidence. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the argument is, well, is that irrefutable? Do we have a clean view? Frankly, I thought we did. I think there are others who would argue that we didn't. So that's a factor that's involved. Do you have a replay that shows you every element of the play? Like, it's not necessarily did he touch home plate. It's also when did he get tagged? Where did he get tagged? I mean, there are all these plays, I guess, the short story is there are tons of elements, and replay doesn't necessarily give them all to us. We didn't see where did he get tagged, when did he get tagged, did the base runner ever actually touch home plate, and is it clear that he missed home plate, or does it just look like he missed home plate? The problem is there are too many factors here on some calls. To me, I would really like to see replay stripped back to a point where it's got to be a bang, an either-or play. You know, like fair or foul on home runs or, you know, extra base hits, did it clear the fence or not? That's the only element you have to worry about. Did it go behind the foul pole or in front? Did it hit or not? Did it clear the fence or not? Tag plays are a little shakier to me because it's when did he get tagged? Where did he get tagged? Where's his foot? Where's his hand? To use the football analogy, I hate it when we break down fumbles, you know, and try and figure out when did his knee touch? Does he still have possession when his knee touched? Where is it? You know, they're just too many elements to bring together, in my opinion. So I always worry about plays where there are too many elements you're trying to sync up. And while I thought it was obvious, I'm still not sure that Alex Baum has touched home plate still. You know, it's almost, you know, it's more than 24 hours later. It's a whole day later. But to me, I thought it was obvious he was out. There are reasons that others might think he wasn't, or that it was irrefutable that he was out, if that makes sense. And so in that instance, if it's not irrefutable, we go to the call on the field, which was safe.
It is very interesting in the super slow motion. Now, we don't live in super slow motion. Everything looks differently when you slow it down frame by frame. But how does MLB, I mean, if he doesn't touch home plate, then the run doesn't score, and then he's out. How does MLB, I guess, maybe change their process so that, one, it doesn't take 4 hours, and two, that they can get the call right? Because that it felt like a gimme, and they still didn't get it right.
Here's the one suggestion that I've heard from others that I think makes sense is this. And you'll notice that every league has a central area, like a war room, where they do all of these replays. And I'm not sure that that's the route to do it, especially when there are multiple games going on at the same time. I've always wondered, why don't you have an umpire in that city? wherever that game is being played. Make them five-man crews. And instead of rotating from third to second to first to home back to third, why don't you rotate that home plate ump and put him up in his own room in the press box? And he is the replay ump for that day. And the replay ump goes to third base, and you have a five-man crew. That way, if somebody gets hurt, also, you instantly have that fourth umpire on site instead of having to rush somebody around. That umpire who's in the city would be tuned to the game. He would be watching just that game, not worrying about any other game. So, you know, as it sits now, when you go to New York, there may be already a replay in progress when your game needs a replay. And what do you do? Are you, like, stacked up like planes around LaGuardia? Do you wait your turn? Or if you have that one guy in that city, he is focused on that play. So I don't know that that solves what I think is the real problem is, do you have enough clean, good views of a play to see everything you need to play, to see? You know, again, let's use a steal at second base. Do you have a view showing when the base runner touched the base? Did he touch it with his hand? Did he touch it with his foot? Did he overslide it? Where did he touch? When did he get tagged? Where did he get tagged? There's just so many different elements. Can you see them all in one replay? Do you have to have multiple replays? I'm not sure. You'll have to tell me, and maybe your listeners have a different opinion than I do. Is it really worth all that mayhem to get a call like that, quote unquote, right? I mean, think about yesterday. We had all that mayhem, delay, back and forth, on and on. Did they get it right? I'd say they didn't. But they went through all that sturm and drang and still didn't get it right.
He is John Wagner. You can find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. Now, I like the individual replay umpire or official in the booth there at the stadium. And if he doesn't have to do anything, that's great. Speed the game right up. And keep it moving, and you know, there is no delay or wait time or calling anybody. Somebody can make the call right there. I just feel like in a game like that, you know, that's a one-run game. They were tied at sixes in the top of the ninth. For that to be able to be to happen in 2021 seems almost as egregious. We compared it yesterday to the pass interference call or no call there with the New Orleans Saints a couple years ago in the playoffs against the LA Rams. Like, how does something like that happen at this level in this day and age? It seems almost kind of preposterous. Another guy I want to touch on as we, you know, we kind of talk about some of the bolder takes here on baseball is the ball itself. Now, the baseball in MLB sent a memo out, according to the AP, to all 30 teams that this ball this year is a little different. They tweak some things, you know, the first three winds inside the ball and it's not wound as tight and it's going to fly 1 to 2 feet shorter on balls hit 375 feet. That's what their data and science and I forget what Matt Shepard called it, Coriolis effect or coefficient rate or who the hell knows. Some kind of crazy scientific term says the ball's not going to go as far. It's no longer quote-unquote juiced. Is this a big deal as offense seems to be dipping down? Is it a good thing for the ball to kind of be uncorked a little bit, if you will, to maybe here's a thought. Maybe we don't try to hit every ball out of the stadium. Maybe we just try to make contact, maybe try to hit it to the opposite side of the field, maybe get some runners on base and maybe do things a little bit the old fashioned way.
Well, first about the ball, the main thing that I've heard that's different from different players is that the seams are raised. And when the seams on a ball are raised, that allows pitchers to get a better grip on breaking pitches. So you'll see better breaking balls from pitchers with the raised seams, which is a good thing, I think. I mean, I like to see well-pitched games. So if I'm seeing better stuff, especially breaking stuff from pitchers, I think that's a good thing. Now, it's funny, though, that you're talking about, well, hey, a few, you know, putting the ball in play and less worry about home runs and launch angle and et cetera, et cetera. That's that's the hot revolution right now. Is the easiest way to score a run is to hit the ball all over the ballpark, and that's all about launch angle and things like that. And you know, people are not worried about going the other way in small ball, and small ball is supposedly less efficient because it takes more elements to score a run in small ball. You know, if you get a walk, a steal, a ground out, and a sac fly, it's one run, but you have to have four different elements go right. Whereas with a home run, you only got to do one thing right, and that's hit the ball out of the ballpark. It, to me, and I realize, though, Anthony, that I'm the minority fan here. I like those elements of the game, okay? I don't mind seeing home runs. I don't want to just see home runs. And the reason I say I'm in the minority is, hey, chicks dig the long ball, you know? People want to see home runs. The game, the last time there was major problems with the game came after the strike in 94. How did they solve that problem? Home run derby, home run chases, home run record chases. And, you know, people want to see home runs. People are excited to see home runs. They don't want to see all those different elements to try and score, because, frankly, it's hard to put all those elements together. I think that's the reason a lot of people don't like the extra inning rule, is because you have to do several things right in a row. And I watched the Twins play Seattle the other day, went to the 10th inning. Seattle did a bunch of things right. They got a grounder to the right side to send a runner to third. They hit a sacrifice fly to bring him home. The Twins did nothing right in their bottom of the inning. Guy didn't move off second base. They lose. And it was kind of funny. But people don't want to see that. You know, they don't want to see people having to do little things right to score a run and win a game by one run. Although, I guess also that could be elemental, too. In a World Series, that's as exciting as it gets. In the playoffs, that's exciting stuff. In a regular season game, maybe not so much. We're going to do this again tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and so forth. Generally, Anthony, people want to see guys circling the bases, and when they're trotting around the bases, all the better. I'm like you. I think I'd rather see more elements like going the other way, hitting and run, stolen bases. I mean, frankly, the triple is the most exciting play in the game, not the home run. But right now, we're in one of those cycles where extra base hits, especially home runs, are what is driving the game. So that's what people are trying to do.
He is John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. John, my friend, is always partner. Thank you so much for your time today, my man. We greatly appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on, Anthony. I hope you and your listeners have a great week.